Once a long time ago, there was a great Rebbe. His name was Reb Baruch. And he had Chassidim. Many, many Yidden came to him. And one of the Chassidim, he wasn't one of the big, big Chassidim. He was a little Chassid. His name was Chaim Yankel. What means a little Chassid? He tried to do what this Rebbe said, as well as good as he could, but he wasn't a big Talmud Chochem, he wasn't a big tzaddik, he wasn't a very, very special kind of a person, even though every Yid is special. He was a Pashad Yid. But he did what his Rebbe said as well as he could. Now, many times he would be in the shul, his Rebbe would be speaking, Rebbe Baruch would be speaking about Hashem, teaching Chassidus, and Chaim Yankel would try to understand what his Rebbe was saying. And one of the things that Chaim Yankel could not understand very well, and he used to wonder about, was this. His Rebbe always said, like the Torah says, Hashem is everywhere. Every place and every time Hashem sees, Hashem knows. And Chaim Yankel used to wonder, you know, in shul, I know Hashem is there. I know Hashem is there when there's a lot of people together, a lot of Yidden together. You feel that Hashem is there. But some far away mountain, there's nobody there. How can Hashem be seeing there and knowing what's over there, just like He does in shul, or just like He does in a city where there's people, or far, far away, way up in the sky, or way down in the ground? How can Hashem also just know everywhere and know what's happening at the same time? Now, of course, Chaim Yankel believed it. Believing and knowing are two different things. He believed it, but you know, he used to wonder about it. How could that be? I don't understand that. Something happened, Kinalach, that not only Chaim Yankel believed it, he really knew how Hashem is every single place and every single time. And you're going to see from this maaseh. One year, this is what happened. Chaim Yankel came to his Rebbe for Hanukkah. They lit the menorah. They had latkes. It was snowing and freezing outside with snow and ice. And it came time that Chaim Yankel would go home to his family, and he was leaving after Hanukkah. He wanted to go to his Rebbe, Reb Baruch, for a bracha before he leaves, because he doesn't know when he's going to be back again. Chaim Yankel goes to his Rebbe, Reb Baruch, to say goodbye, to ask for a bracha for his family. Reb Baruch said to Chaim Yankel, he says, on the way home, before you go home, you should get together, of course, your things that you're taking home, and you should also take matzahs, and you should take wine, enough for two people for Sidurim. Take matzahs and take wine, enough for two people for Sidurim. And do that before you go home. Now, Kinalach, Chaim Yankel, he was wondering, it's only Hanukkah. It's a long time until Pesach. Why does Reb Baruch want him to take now wine and matzahs? I mean, he plans to get wine and matzahs before Pesach, not now. But one thing Chaim Yankel knew, if your Rebbe says to do something, you don't ask questions right away. You do what the Rebbe says. And later on, you could ask questions or find out why. The main thing, if your Rebbe says to do something, you do it. Like Hashem. Na'aseh v'nishma. How do the Yidden receive the Torah? First is Na'aseh, we'll do what Hashem says. Afterwards, v'nishma will understand. The same thing by his Rebbe. First, he does what his Rebbe wants from him. Later on, he'll understand. He's not going to ask questions right away. Why and this and why that? Chaim Yankel, the next morning, he went to the matzah bakery to get matzahs. The matzah bakery was closed. He went to the man who bakes the matzahs. I need matzahs for two people for the Siddurim. The man says, what? Matzahs? Already? The bakery doesn't open until after Purim. That's a long time. It's only Hanukkah. What do you need, matzahs now? He says, well, Reb Baruch said I should take matzahs before I leave. Oh, Reb Baruch said, okay. They opened up the matzah bakery. They made a fire in the oven. They got a few of the workers. And special for Chaim Yankel, they baked matzahs. Right after Hanukkah, they baked matzahs special. He went to the wine store and he bought wine. Usually wine is kosher lePesach. The way they make it the whole year, he bought wine. He took the matzahs. He packed up his talis and tefillin, a few of his clothes, and his big sitter. He had a big, thick sitter that he used to take everywhere he went. In the sitter was Tehillim and all the davening for Shabbos and Yontiv. And it had all the special things like Haggadah it had in over there, Tehillim. It had many things in the sitter. He put it into his bag and he starts to go home. How does he go home? He walks. He was a poor man. He could not afford to get a wagon with horses, with a driver, or even to pay for a ride on somebody else's wagon because it's a lot of money for him. So he's going to walk. It'll take him maybe a week or two to walk home on the roads through the snow, but his boots were pretty good. And Baruch Hashem, he had enough koyach, so he's going to go. Finished. He'll stay overnight in a kretschme, like a little hotel by the side of the road they used to have in those times. And each day he would walk through the snow. Shabbos he spent by a little Yiddish kretschme in a village somewhere. And he went through the snow each day a little bit more. Finally, he was pretty close to home. He just had to go over the big mountain. Now, to go over the big mountain was a very, very big trip. It could take you at least a whole day, if not 2 days. But usually a person liked to start early morning and go the whole day. And before it got dark, he would get to the other side of the mountain and he would be all right if everything went fine. In that hotel, there were other people staying also and other people that were traveling over the big mountain. Early the next morning, Chaim Yankel woke up extra early. He davened. He had a little bit to eat. He learned a little bit. And now he's starting out on the trip over the big mountain. And there was a group of other people, of Goyim, that were also traveling over the big mountain. They started at the same time walking on the road, starting up the mountain. Chaim Yankel was walking with them because they were all walking together at the same time. But as he listened to what they were talking about and the kind of language they were using, he decided it's best not to walk with them. It's best not a Yid should hear these kind of words and about these kind of things. So he decided to walk by himself a little bit behind. Better he should walk by himself and think Torah and say Mishnayos Baal Peh than hear what these goyim are talking about and the kind of words they were using. As they were continuing up the mountain, the weather started to change. It got very cold. Clouds came in the sky, big, big, thick, gray clouds. And Chaim Yankel knew these are storm clouds. Not a rainstorm, but a snowstorm was coming. A big blizzard is coming. You could tell by the weather. Soon it started to snow. It snowed very, very hard. And everything turned white. All you could see is white. Wherever you looked, up and down and all around, everything is white. It was so white, it was just bright, like a bright light in front of your eyes. After a while, the road disappeared. You could not tell the difference between the road and off the road. You could hardly even see trees unless you knocked into them because the snow was so thick. And Chaim Yankel kept walking. He didn't even know where he's going now. All he hoped for was he should reach the end of the mountain, the other side, by the nighttime, or else he's going to be stuck on the mountain by himself at night. And he started to get worried because if the weather is good and you leave early in the morning, you can get to the other side of the mountain by the night. But now the weather is so snowy and so icy, how is he going to make it to the other side of the mountain when it gets dark? And it was very cold. And after a while, it starts getting dark. It wasn't as bright, still snowing. Chaim Yankel, you can imagine, was getting very, very tired walking like this. He was getting very hungry. He had some food to eat, but, you know, he was going to run out of food very soon. What's he going to do if he gets stuck on the mountain? And sure enough, he did have the matzahs and the wine, but his Rebbe said, take matzahs and wine, enough for two for Pesach. Who knows why his Rebbe said that, but he's not going to eat the matzah just for a regular meal on a mountain like that. And he started to wonder also, I wonder if this has anything to do with my Rebbe telling me to take matzahs and wine for Pesach. But of course he said for two. I'm only one person. What do I need for two now? Doesn't make any sense. But he knew that, you know, whatever his Rebbe meant, he'll find out. It starts getting darker and darker, and he gets very, very tired. He feels like lying down in the snow and going to sleep. But one thing he knew, you should never lie down in the snow and go to sleep, because then you could freeze. And that's the end of you if you freeze in the snow. You'd be like a frozen chicken from the freezer. His eyes started to close as he's walking. He started to fall down a few times. When he hit the snow, it felt like a bed. He started to fall asleep. It felt warm. He knew that that's very dangerous. Because if you're really starting to freeze, it feels like it's warm, but really you're freezing. He got himself up again. It was almost dark outside. It was almost all dark. He could hardly see anything. What's he going to do? He starts davening to Hashem, saying Shema Yisrael, asking Hashem to help. And he starts to think to himself, my Rebbe, Rebbe Baruch, always says Hashem is everywhere. No matter where you go, you think you're alone, Hashem is there. Please Hashem, I'm on a mountain in the middle of the snow with trees and nobody lives here. Please Hashem, listen to me. See where I am. Help me. And just then, in the last bit of light that was out, it looked like a big shadow or a big dark thing that went right in front of his face. Like something moved that was darker than the dark around him. It was dark around him, but it was darker, like something that moved. Was he imagining something? Was he dreaming? And then, a few seconds later, another big sort of a dark shadow moved across in front of his face, and he seemed to hear noise, like something walking in the snow. And again, he followed in the direction of these big sort of dark things, and the noise, he followed the noise, and all of a sudden, he came into a cave. With one step, he had walked into a cave, and for the first time now, he knew that he wasn't in the snow. He was in some kind of a room. It must be a cave in the side of the mountain. In his pocket, he did have matches, and he lit a match, and all of a sudden, he saw what those big shadows were. They were mountain goats, wild goats from the mountain that must live in this cave. And on the floor of the cave was a lot of dry grass and a lot of different little plants and twigs that they must eat. And all he knew was he had found some kind of a safe place. Because the mountain goats, as long as he's not going to start up with them, they're not going to start up with him. He knew they were not dangerous, even though they have big horns. But if he is going to be very quiet, they're not going to bother him too much. And all of a sudden, he just fell down on the dry grass, and he fell asleep. In the morning, he woke up. He was so tired, he hardly remembered even where he was or what had happened. As soon as he opens his eyes, all of a sudden he sees a bunch of goats looking at him. Then he remembers that he's in a cave with a bunch of goats. And there was a little bit of light coming from way up in the ceiling, so he could see these goats looking at him in the dark. It was a very big cave. It was full of these plants that the goats had saved over there. And now he wants to see outside. If it stops snowing, he can continue going. He'll get home. He went to the door of the cave that he had come in. He couldn't find the door. All he felt was ice. The door must be someplace else in the cave. He walked around the cave. He couldn't find any door. It was only rock. Rock, solid mountain. He went back to that place where there was the ice. He tried to push his way through, but it was so thick, just like the mountain itself. He figured that over the night there must have been some kind of an avalanche. You know what's an avalanche? A lot of ice and snow falls down and makes a big, thick covering. And it could be so thick that it's impossible to get out of. He's trapped. He's trapped with the goats in the cave. At first he got very afraid. But then he thought to himself, look, at least I'm in a safe place. At least I have a kind of a warm place to be. It's not a snowy place. He looked around the cave. He saw a bunch of goats. They had a lot of their food there, a lot of their straw and their hay and their plants. He started to feel very, very hungry. Then he got scared again. What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? I'll be starving. Then he remembered. Goat's milk. From goats come milk. And it's kosher. Goat's milk is kosher. He could milk the goats. He could drink the milk. He could even make cheese. There were many goats in this cave. He started to think to himself, look, I'm in a danger. I'm in the middle of nowhere on a mountain. But somehow he felt like Hashem had helped him. Even though he was in trouble, Hashem made sure that he got into a safe cave. Not only that, he had what to eat, he had where to sleep. And he didn't know how long he was going to be trapped in there, but at least he knows he's not going to die. He'll keep alive somehow. And he really felt his Rebbe's words, how Hashem looks and Hashem sees and Hashem knows, even in the middle of nowhere. And so Kindelach, he put on his talis and tefillin, he davened, the goats didn't bother him. He walked over to one of the goats, he was very nice to the goat, and he milked it, the goat didn't mind. He had fresh goat's milk, he made a bracha shakol and he drank it. And he stayed in the cave, he thought maybe at the end of the day I'll get out. Maybe tomorrow I'll get out. One day went by, another day went by, a few days went by. Every day he went to the cave, to the opening where the ice was, and he tried to get out. He tried to bang his way out. It was solid like rock. It was so thick. He sees that he's stuck in the cave. And he started to think to himself, how long am I going to be over here? And then he starts to think also about those matzahs and the wine. Does that mean I'm going to be here for Pesach? From Hanukkah till Pesach, stuck in this cave? But it couldn't be. My Rebbe said I should take for two. I should make with the goats a Seder here? For me and for them? Which goat? Me and for the king goat? What? Which the head of the goats is going to be with me by the Seder? Ask the fear kashas? Who's going to ask the fear kashas? A goatee? And so Kindalach, each day went by, even Shabbos went by, and Chaim Yankel was stuck in that cave. But at least he had his big sitter. He said Tehillim. It had some Mishnayos over there. And he tried to do anything Baal Peh that he knew how to say and learn whatever he could and daven to Hashem and sing some Nigunim. And he became very friendly with the goats. Started talking a little bit to the goats also, even though they didn't talk back. And the days and the weeks went by. And tomorrow, kiddies, we go on with the story of Chaim Yankel and the goatee. Okay, so Tavis went by, Shvat went by, Adar went by. He was for Purim in the cave. Okay, Shalach Manis, what could he do for Shalach Manis? Goat's cheese and goat's milk, and give a goat Shalach Manis. Well, he wasn't exactly able to do Shalach Manis. Matanis Levyanim, he put some money aside that he should be able to give when he could, so he was Yetzi that. For two poor people, you put Matanis Levyanim, at least if you put it aside on Purim, you're Yetzi. The Megillah, he didn't have a Megillah, but he had in his big sitter, he had the whole story of Esther, and he had Megillah's Esther in the sitter. He was able to read that, at least do what he could for Purim. And now it is after Purim, and it's coming already Pesach, and he's still in the cave. Each day he goes to the door, it's still solid ice. But Yankel knows, Chaim Yankel knows, that soon he'll be out, because after Purim it gets warmer. The sun is shining outside. It's melting the snow and the ice. Finally, Kinalach, it's coming Erev Pesach. And he's still stuck in the cave. And Chaim Yankel still wondered. He's got the matzah and he's got the wine. His Rebbe has Ruach HaKodesh to see that he's going to be stuck for Pesach. At least he'll be able to do the mitzvah of matzah and the four kaisis. But what really was very, very strange to Chaim Yankel was that he's got for two. That was kind of strange. I mean, he knew that the Rebbes have Ruach HaKodesh, Tzadikim have Ruach HaKodesh, and they could see things that are going to happen. And his Rebbe certainly saw that this is going to happen. But still, for two, that was still very unexplained. It came Erev Pesach in the morning, Kinalach. Chaim Yankel went to the door. He put his shoulder over there to the ice. And he gave a big shove. And all of a sudden, he broke through the ice. And he made his way outside of the cave for the first time in all of these months. And he was standing outside, and it was a warm day. The sun was shining. There were still patches of snow and ice in the ground, but a lot of it had melted. And the trees were growing, and there was plants, and it smelled so nice outside because he'd been in the cave for so long. The air smelled sweet to him. And he was on the mount. And he thought to himself, look, maybe if I go as fast as I could, I'll be able to get home for Pesach, because the roads are probably okay to travel on. And he started to gather his stuff together. He said goodbye to the goats. He took his things, talus and tefillin, and his big sitter, and his matzahs and his wine, and he started to climb up the mountain to try to find the road. At least he was able to see where he's going. And all of a sudden, as he takes a few steps away from the cave, he starts to hear a noise. Well, at first he thought it was one of the goats. Then he thought to himself, that doesn't sound like a goat. I mean, he's pretty clear on what a goat sounds like already, being so long in the cave with goats, but this did not sound too much like a goat. Help! Help! Somebody was crying for help. It's a person. There's a person crying for help. He looked all around. He looked way up the mountain. All of a sudden, he saw a person was by the side of the mountain, lying down, holding on to a rock. He must have fallen down the mountain somehow. And Chaim Yankel ran up the mountain. He put down his stuff so he wouldn't be held back by his bags. And he ran over to the man. And the man was lying, holding on to a rock that he shouldn't slide down the rest of the mountain. Chaim Yankel took the man, climbed down towards the cave where it was safe, and he helped him with his cuts and his bruises. He must have fallen down. He tore up his shirt and he tied like bandages to stop the bleeding from his leg. And the man thanked Chaim Yankel. He says, "You saved me. You saved my life. I was so scared I'd fall down the rest of the mountain." Chaim Yankel says, "What happened?" He says, "I was on the road. I was going on the mountain. And it was still very slippery from some of the ice parts on the road. And I slipped off the road and I fell down the mountain. And I thought I was going to fall down the whole mountain. And I grabbed on to this rock. And I grabbed on over there was a branch of a plant sticking out. And I was able to stop myself, but I hurt my leg. I was trying to go home for Pesach. I guess I'm not going to make it. I don't think I can walk on my leg. Hey, what am I going to do? I wanted to be home for Pesach. I don't have any wine or matzahs. I'm going to be stuck. What about you? You're also here. What are you doing here? After all, you saved my life. But how could you be all of a sudden on the side of the mountain like this?" Chaim Yankel says, "You know what? I have also a long story to tell you. But I don't think you have anything to be afraid of. Even if you can't walk for Pesach, don't worry about it. Because I have with me wine and matzahs enough for two people. For Pesach, for the Sedarim." He says, "What do you mean, for two people?" "Okay, I'll tell you the whole story, but first let's take care of you. Are you hungry and thirsty?" "Well, yes I am." "Well, come into my place where I have a place over here." "What do you mean you have a place over here? Nobody lives on this mountain. This mountain's in the middle of nowhere." Chaim Yankel says, "I have a nice place right here. Come in." Chaim Yankel takes him into the cave, back to the goats. "Hey, the goats are freilich. Look, our friend is back." They were so happy they came over. "Give him shalom aleichem, like a goat, you know, he's going to put his nose over there and give you a lick." The goats were happy to see their friend and another friend. And he tells them that he's been in this cave since after Hanukkah. And he told them the story about what had happened. And Kinalach, he gave him goat's milk and cheese that he still had in the cave. And Chaim Yankel decided, look, he's not going to go home for Pesach because he's not going to leave this man over here and he can't carry him and this man can't walk. So he's going to be in the cave until the man gets better with his leg. And they stayed in the cave for Pesach. And they had Sedarim with the matzahs and the wine that Chaim Yankel had for two people. And they had the Haggadah and the big Siddur. And they sat up that night for Pesach, talking about all the big nisim that Hashem helps a person in a trouble. And both of them had so many stories to tell. And they sang the Gunim from the Haggadah. And they sang, and they thanked Hashem that he was able to help both of them. And that he put big tzaddikim in the world to help the Yidden. And after Pesach, the man felt better. And they went home for Chol HaMoed. They told all their friends about the big nisim. And everybody saw what a great tzaddik was Reb Baruch. And they thanked Hashem. And that's the end of the Maaseh.